The Gemara quotes a machlokes between Reish Lakish and Abai Rava on Hey Amid Aleph going over to Hey Amid Beis. Is there such a ruvah that is a kaman of chazak and not a parah kosman? So we spoke about this. It could well be that the pashup shat machlokes is in psychology, but the psychology depends on the halacha. We know that whenever a person borrows money, there is shnei shibudim hay. That's the lashon of the Rabbeinu Tam. This Rabbeinu Tam never appears in Taisvis anywhere, but the other Rishon quoted in Ksubis and Daf Pei Vav. When the Gemara quotes the din, a very surprising din, Amocha shtachev l'chadev v'chazor amach l'machul. I have a shtachev that somebody owes me $1,000. Then I sell the shtar to somebody else. He's not going to pay me $1,000. He has to wait 3 years to collect the money. So it's not worth $1,000 then. There's going to be some discount now. He'll pay me whatever, $900. And the loiver may default. The loiver may not pay the money. So that's also a suffix thrown in. Depends who the loiver is. Is it a bank? Is it a government? Is it a private person? Is he wealthy? Is he poor? Is he honest? Is he a Jew? Is he a Nochri? So it depends on a lot of things to establish how much, when I sell a shtar chayv to someone else, how much is going to pay me. I have a shtar halvoa that's only collectible in another 3 years, so how much is he going to pay me when I sell him the shtar chayv? Whatever. So we make up how much he's going to pay. So I sold the shtar chayv to the other person. After I sold it to the lokeach, I have the ability to turn around and be moichet to the mochel, to the lova. It's a wild din. Turn around. What kind of shtick is that? So the Tzoyis HaChoshen has a famous essay where he writes Bedin Zeh Nemar B'Nishnu. And this din, there are three different explanations given by the Rishon. So the Rabbi Natam's explanation runs approximately, not quoted by Tosfos. But the Ran and the other Rishon, the Rosh, quoted there in Ksubas on Daf Pei Vav. So the Rabbi Natam says, Shnei Shibudim Heim. Whenever you borrow money, there's a Shibud Aguf and there's a Shibud Nechasim. So the Shibud Aguf is a relationship between the Malv and the Loiv, but that doesn't lend itself to Mechira. You can't sell the Shibud Aguf to someone else. But the only thing you can sell is if you own property. I own my jacket, I own the furniture of my house, I own the apartment, I own the svarim in my house. The property that I own, the karka, the metaltalim. So on karka, I can sell, making yoni karka, metaltalim. I can make yoni metaltalim. So when I lent money last year to the loive. So the loive gave me a shtar. If you haven't, that's the last Mishnah in Bava Basra, the difference between Bilba Bishtar and Bilba Balka. So if you have a Milba Bishtar, then you have a sheep in the chosim that enables you to collect from the Lukuchas. If you only have a Milba Alpe, then you cannot collect from the Lukuchas. So what does that mean, a sheep in the chosim? So the Ritva and Kiddushan, and Daf Yud Gimel, and the Nesibis writes it on his own, he doesn't quote that Ritva. They both say that a sheep in the chosim is a kinya lachatzoy. I own the Malva, the one who lent the money to the Loive, owns the karka of the Loive to a certain extent. Usually there's only Shib Nechosim on karka. If you want to make Shib Nechosim on Metaltalim, you have to make, it's a Gemar Cheskes Abatim. Just like you can make Kinyan Agav, there's a Mishnah Kiddushin based on a Pasuk in Sefer Divrei Hayomim in Tanakh. It says in Divrei Hayomim that one of the kings, one of the Malchei Yisrael, gave matanis to his children. He gave them metaltalim agav karka. He gave the karka the matana. He gave a shtar to give the karka the matana to his children. And then he was makta metaltalim agav karka. So that's the basis, that's the mokka for this institution of kinyan agav. You can be makta metaltalim agav karka. You don't need to make a separate kinyan on the metaltalim. Just make a kinyan on the karka. You want the metaltalim to go along, goes along. So how come you can be mishabed metaltalim magav karka? So it sounds like shibud is a certain type of a kinyan. The nechosim, the karkois of the loive, are kinuyim to the malve with respect to a sikinya lachatzoyin. Doesn't mean kinya lachatzoyin 50-50. Chatzoyin means partially. It doesn't always mean chatzi-chatzi. It means partially. Let's say I have an Eved Kenayni. So if a Shor HaMuad kills an Eved Kenayni, the Baal HaShor is mechuyav to pay shloshim shel Eved. So the Gemara has a discussion in Gittin. What if I sell you my Eved Kenayni with respect to shloshim shel Eved? Can you do that? Let's say I want to sell you that Paris, I have trees, I have a farm, and every year Paris grow, vegetables, fruits, whatever. Let's say vegetables you have to plant. Let's say not vegetables, let's say fruits. The trees are already standing, and every year the trees give off Paris. So I want to sell you the Paris that are going to grow, Shnas Tov Shin Pei Gimel. It didn't come yet, Tov Shin Pei Gimel. So I cannot make a Kenyan to sell a Paris. That's called the Dovish L'Boli Olam. There's a Machlok Zatanami Paskin. If he make a Kenyan on Dovish L'Boli Olam, it's not Chal, even if he didn't back out, even if there is Bolo Olam. And you didn't back out, the Kenyan is not chal. Afterwards, Baal Olam, if you make another Kenyan, then it'll be chal. But if you made a Kenyan in advance on a Dovish Baal Olam, it's not chal even though you didn't back out. But what happens, the Gemara says in Bob Mitzia, if I'm makna the trees do exist already. So if I'm makna the trees to you, so Mimela, the trees are yours, so the Paris that will grow, Tavshin Pei Gimel, will belong to you, Mimela. That's the principle, that's the din of Aroy Ashbach. Akar kashali aroi aleph resh ayin yud ara aleph resh ayin aleph aro is Aramaic for karka. Akar kashali hishbiach aroi ashbach. So if I sell you the trees and trees belong to you, so if you want you can chop them down and use them as logs in the furnace as fuel, or if you want you can let the trees remain there and they'll keep on giving pears every year. For many years, they'll give Paris. Just like I can sell you the tree, Legamre, I can sell you the tree 50-50, that half of the Paris that'll grow will belong to you, half of the Paris will be mine. I can sell you the tree 75-25. I'll charge more money if I'm selling you 75% of the trees. I can sell you 25% of the trees, or I can sell you the trees with respect to the schus of Aroy Ashbach, the Tav Shin Pei Gimel. I can sell you the thing that it, the Dovish HaBoli Olam with respect to a Dovish HaBoli Olam. You cannot make a Kenyan on a Dovish HaBoli Olam, but if you make a Kenyan on a Dovish HaBoli Olam with respect to the Dovish HaBoli Olam, then the Gemara said the Kenyan is Chal. So the Gemara has a discussion about that. Can I sell my Eved Kenayni? If I sell you my Eved Kenayni, it belongs to you. I have the ability to sell Eved Kenayni. What if I sell the Eved Kenayni only with respect to Shloshim Shalevet? Your ownership of Eved Kenayni is relevant for a million and one different things. I'm going to sell Eved Kenayni to someone else in case the Eved Kenayni will ever be killed by a Shor HaMuad in New York City. How often is that going to happen? Not in New York City. In the Middle East, in the days of the Tanoim. How often is that going to happen? Once in every 1,000 years? How often does it happen that a Shor HaMuad kills an Eved Kenayni? Very rare. But still, the Gemara has a discussion. If I sell you the Eved Kenayni with respect to the Eved Kenayni should belong to you, with respect to this chus, which is really lo boli olam. If a Shor HaMuad will kill the Eved Kenayni, and the Baal HaShor will be mechuyev to pay me the shloshim shel Eved, so I declare the Eved now belongs to you with respect to shloshim shel Eved. So that's a discussion in the Gemara. So here, this is considered legitimate. I lend money to the loiva, and he gives me a shtar halvoa. So we say, whenever there's a shtar halvoa, there's a shibud nechosim. What does it mean, shibud nechosim? Shibud nechosim means a kinya lachatzon. Not just, you have a right to collect. In case the loiva sold the karka to the lakuchas, and later on they come to collect from the loiva, and he's broke, he went bankrupt, doesn't have any money, but he sold the karka after he gave me the shtar. So there, that karka that he sold to the lakuchas, I have the right to collect. What do you mean I have a right to collect? That's what the Ritva writes in Kiddushin, and the Sivas writes on his own. He often quotes Ritvas. This one he maybe didn't have the Ritva in Kiddushin, didn't have all the Rishonim. So he writes the same. He thinks that Shib and Lechosim means a Kinyan Lechatzon. So the Rabbi Natam says, just like if I own Karka, I had to buy my apartment. They wouldn't let me have both apartments unless I bought both of them. So I had no choice, I had to pay for my apartment. So I can sell the apartment. That's karka. Mechubel karka, dinik karka. I can sell karka. I can sell the talpalim. So when I lend money to the loiv and the loiv gives me a shtar halva, and he writes in the shtar, kol nechasam mishubadim l'chayiv zeh, all of the karkos that he owns are mishubad. What it means is he's giving over ownership of the karka to the malve with respect to gvias hachov in the event that in the future the loiv will go broke and he won't have any money to pay the halva. So the malve has a right to declare, you gave me ownership of the karka, it's mine. And therefore you had no right to sell it to the Lukuchas. If after he sold it to the Lukuchas, it turns out the only way for me to collect is to take away the carcass. I say, I own the karka before he sold it to Lukach. Because with respect to Gvias Achev, the karka, from the minute that he gave me the shot, the karka belonged to me already. So that's what Shiv Nechasim is all about. So that's what the Abin and Tam has this famous comment. There are two Shibunim. Shibir Aguf means the loiv owes money to the Malva. Shiv Nechasim, the karkois of the loiv, are kanuyim to the Malva with respect to Gviya. So when the Boichash Tachav Lachaveiroi, when the Malva sells the halvoa to another person, he has $1,000 halvoa collectible in another 3.5 years, the guy's going to pay Yechves $850. Because it's questionable, maybe he'll never collect the money. And even if he will collect it, he has to wait another 3 years to collect it. So he's not going to pay the full, the lekech is not going to pay $1,000 to get $1,000. What's he going to gain? He's going to discount it. He's going to pay less than the $1,000. So even though there is an institution of mechira shtaris, so Rabbi Tam holds that the only thing you can sell is a shibin nechosim, because that's an ownership of the bien. You can't sell the shibin aguf. Shibir aguf is a relationship between the malva and the loiva. It's not a tangible object that lends itself to mechira. You can't sell the shibir aguf. So even though I sold the shtachev, I'm the malva, I sold the shtachev to another person, and he has a right to collect it, but if I turn around now, and I'm moichel to the loiva, so then the lekech has no right to collect. I'll have to reimburse the loiva the money. He paid me $850 to be able to collect this $1,000 debt in another 3.5 years. And now it went that I was meichot to the loiva, so that I'm another mamazik. He had the right to collect $1,000 in another 3.5 years. Now I was meichot to the loiva, so he has no right to collect. So I have to reimburse him. I have to reimburse him all the money. That's what the Gemara says. If you hold danin and dina de garmi, then I'm meichot shtachav lachaver chazam machol has to pay the money. What does it have to do with Garmi? Because he's mazik b'dibur. He's not mazik. If I take a hammer, I smash your car, I smash your window, that's another mazik. If I beat you up, that's a chayvul b'chaver. Here, by being meichel to the loiva, that causes the lekech to lose money. Because the shibir aguf is still there to me, and therefore I have a right to be meichel. So the mailer, once there's no shibir aguf is taken care of, is satisfied already, because I was meichel, then the lekech has the right to collect based on the shibin achosim. So I'm an adam amazik, so I have to pay. So that's a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch. How much do I have to pay? Do I pay the full $1,000? Medina de Garmi, I pay the full $1,000. I just pay however much he paid for the halva. He made a whole calculation, how much he's going to discount it. He paid me $850 for the ability to collect the $1,000 in another 3.5 years. Or do you figure out the $850 as a kakai cheshbon? Maybe it's really worth more, maybe it's really worth less than $850. So maybe you should ask experts, what's the going rate? How much should that halvoa been worth? How much should he have charged the lekech? When I sold the shtachev to another person, maybe he should have paid me more than $850, maybe he should have paid me less than $850. So there are three different opinions in Chosh Mishpah from three different views along Shach and Chosh Mishpah. How much do I have to pay? If you all, we paskin danin and didigami, like Rav Meir, doin didigami, and Baba Kama Daf Kuf. Here it's on the first daf. The Gemara says, Nifitza olam lagdor, so the Gemara said, that did in the Mishnah. The Sai Shemen of Lagodra, his chai b'achriyus, he has to pay. So that's only medina didigami. That's a question. Why is it medina gamu? He said the Ramban asked the question. We don't know the answer. Why shouldn't you say that my kerem is like a shor hamazik? So my vine is growing together with his grain, And my vine, us, is the grantor. It's like I have a shor amud that made a hezek. It's not a live animal, but it's still, it's my property, and my property caused the hezek. Why should not be chai? Mitam mamad amazik. Maybe it's eish, maybe it's shor. Eish doesn't necessarily have to be a fire. If you leave out that's the kingdom of Sapir or Shagag, it's a told of the eish, maybe it's a told of the shor. Maybe it doesn't make a difference. What is it told of? Eish told of, sure, I should be chayim. But why does the Gemara consider it dina de garmi? It should be mamon amazik, should be chayim. L'choladeh, should be chayim l'choladeh. What does it have to do with garmi? That's a question. So that's what the Ramban answers, that since the whole hezek only occurs because nisayi shemeno, so he's a mazik b'machshava. That's called a mazik b'machshava. So then the Ramban raises the question, what about Mefagel? The Mishnah talks about, I bring a carpet to the Beis HaMikdash and I ask the Kohen, please be makrovit, and the Kohen is makrovit, and he has a mind, he's going to be zerk to dam tomorrow. He makes it tigul, he has a mind, he's going to eat it. Let's say it's the carbon chatas, he has a mind, he's going to eat it. After this man, achilas ha-carbon is up. Or he has a shlamim, he has a mind to eat the chazah b'shoik. You have to give it to the Kohen, the chazah b'shoik of the shlamim. So he has a mind to eat the chazav shoyk tomorrow. So it passes the whole carbon, and I'm not yotze. I have to bring the whole carbon all over again. If I took a netter to bring an oila, nobody eats. You burn it on the mizbech. So let's see, his mind is going to burn it on the mizbech tomorrow. He's not going to burn it today. Tomorrow it'll be nifsal balina. Kotch man nifsal balina if you leave it overnight. Till alos hashachar in the morning. So the Mishnah says that a mefagel, one who passes someone else's carbon, is chayiv to pay. A mefagel is chayiv to pay. So that's a shaila. But pigal is memachshava. The Gemara always says pigal is memachshava. So mazik memachshava is considered garmi. Is that considered garmi? Is that correct? So that's what that's a discussion. Maybe the Ramban thinks the Gemara doesn't seem to say it's garmi. The Gemara says mefagel is chayiv. Moshe Mefagel, Gemara says, the Mishnah has in the beginning of Bava Kama, the Dalet Ovis Nezikin. Then the Gemara has a Braisa, one Tana says, there are Yud Gimel Ovis Nezikin. The other Tana says, in a different Braisa, there are Chav Dalet Ovis Nezikin. The Gemara says, they're all correct. They're more than Chav Dalet Ovis Nezikin. Each Tana only was listing those four. He was only listing these 13. The 13 include the four. And the 24 include the 13 with another 11. So the Gemara said, but why did the last Tana say a number? Gemara said because he left that voice on Mefagel, but he agrees that Mefagel is also chayv. Everybody agrees Mefagel is chayv. So that's the question: why is Mefagel chayv? Should be garmi? Should be groma? If it's mazik b'machshava, should depend on the machleik zamer and the chachamim with the danin and dini garmi. So the Ramban apparently is of the opinion that when you do an avodas pigul, the kohen has machshava b'shas shchita kabbalah halacha zrika makes it into pigul. He has a machshava to eat it lach as manai. So apparently, it's not machshava's pigul that passes. If you do a shchita kabbalah halacha zrika, if you do one of the dalet avodas adam with machshava's pigul, the avodah is labeled as avodah's pigul, and the avodah's pigul passes it. Not that the machshava makes it pigul. By over here, nisayi shemenu, the yirush asses it. Mashenikin over there, the avodah's pigul passes it. That's kula chidush, big chidushim. So that's really until I mentioned Rabbi Gifter said nobody knows the answer. It was exaggerated. Nobody knows the answer to this din. Why is the Ramban's kasha? Why do you say Nisayi Shemenu Ula Godra is only Chayim Mitam Dina de Gami? Why don't you say it's Mamona or Mazi? So the Ramban's answer is very sticky. It's very questionable what the answer is. Anyway, over here, the Gemara said, if I go and I'm Moichel, I sold you the Shtar Chayim, and I'm Moichel, it's I'm another Mamazik. That was a nasty thing on my part. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm upset you the money. And if you pass Kandina de Garmi, then I have to pay. But the Gemara never says how much you have to pay. Do I have to pay the full $1,000? Do I pay whatever he paid me, whatever the Lekeh paid me? I reimburse him his $850. Or do you say no? You have to assess it. How much should it have gone for? Forget about how much he paid. If selling this Shtar Chayv now, another 3.5 years to go to collect $1,000. And we're not so sure whether this lover is going to be an honest person and pay. We're not so sure if you're going to have enough money then when it comes time to pay. So how much should the Shtar Chayv have sold for? Maybe should have sold for more than 850. Maybe should have sold for less than 850. So that's one opinion. That's how much he paid. So that's a big discussion in the Shach. How much do you pay? Anyway, so that's the famous Rabbein and Talmud. Shnei Shibudim Hein, the Shibud Agluf and Shibud Nechasim. And the Shibud Nechasim is a Kinyan L'Chatzoyin. The Shibud Agluf is a relationship between the Baal and the Lord. So that's what we said, that if I lent money, I lent $1,000 to the Loewe, and he has 5 years to pay, so it could be the Shibud Nechasim is Chal right away. But the time that the Loewe gives the shtar to the Malve depends what the date is. If he wrote a later date, then the Shibud Nechasim doesn't set in till that date happens. But if he wrote that date of the day that he gave him the shtar, that's normal. You write a shtar and you write the date, today's date. So when you give the shtar to the, when the Loewe gives the shtar to the Malve, Shibud Nechasim is Chal right away. So any karkos that the Loewe sold from that date on to the Lukuchas, so the Malva will be able to collect from the Lukuchas. But the question is, when is the Shibud Agluf Chal? Do you say, since he has until 5 years to pay, the Shibud Agluf doesn't begin until after 5 years? But you say, no, Shibud Agluf begins right away. So the, perhaps that is exactly the Machlokes between Rish Lakish and Abai Barava. What does it mean? Amav is Chaver Lizman. He was Chaver Zman L'Chaver, says the Goinim say. Only Kaveh Azman L'Chaveh. Kaveh Azman means that the Shibud Agluf doesn't set in until Hagos Azman? Or no, the Shibud Agluf is, Shibud Nechasim is right away, the Shibud Agluf is right away. The Zchus Igviya are only later. The Malva doesn't have the Zchus. It says in the Chumash, after Shemitah comes to a close, Lo Yilgo says, Reyeh V'soch V'kikor Shemitah L'Shem. They have no right, the Malva has no right to pressure the Loewe to pay him. He has no right to demand of the Loewe. Because Shemitah cancels all the debt. So usually, when you make a halvor, there is a schus negisa. You have schus itviya. You have a right to be kaveh. You have a right to pass to the loiva, that he should pay you the money. You have the right to be toveya. So that's the question. If it's maluch avera lizman, I lent them for 5 years, means I have no schus itviya till 5 years. Or maybe there's more than that. Maybe there's no shibud aguf till after 5 years. So it could be that that goof is a machlokes between Rish Lakish against Abai Barava. Shlokish holds that there's no Shibud Agluf at all, Techazman. So therefore, there's a psychological that the guy's not going to be nervous. He's not going to be worried about paying. He doesn't have to be worried about paying till after the 5 years are up, till Hagos Hazman, because there's no Shibud Agluf. And if you hold that there is Shibud Agluf, just that no Schusik Gviya now, but there is Shibud Agluf, then psychologically, the psychology depends on Halacha. Then, since there is a Shibud Agluf, so he's going to be concerned. He has a achrayus on his shoulders, he has to pay. And then Abai Barava holds, Odna Pariyatos Mana. He will, there's an umdana, he probably, he may decide there's no umdana, no one's going to pay Tarchazman. So it could be that the psychological machlekes, Abai Barava and Rish Lakish, depends on the halacha. Is there a Shibud Agluf or not? Anyway, the Gemara says, we paskin. Hilchos HaKeresh Lakish, and the second white line on Ham and Beis, the Gemara says, be passing like Keresh Lakish. And then the Gemara says, Vafilu mi yasmi. We assume, Aruba Dalesa Kamon, that he didn't pay the money, and Afilu min ayisayim. What does that mean? The Afagav de Omamar, even though we have a din, Habola Parnitsan Liyifer Alevishvu, you have to swear. So Tosis has an interesting comment here. Tosis quotes a Braisa from the Tosfos of Mas Afagav to Omer Rabbanan. So Tosfos quotes a Brisa in Perek HaKosef, the first line of Tosfos, a Brisa in Perek HaKosef, Ksuvos Daf Pei Zayin, where it says, and the Brisa Aval Maaseh Shari Omer Chachomim Abal Panusam Liyifra Belishvua. The Brisa says Omer Chachomim. So Tosfos says Mashma, that lashon that appears in a Brisa Omer Chachomim Mashma Sheimishtem B'Shumabu. If a Braisa writes Omer Chachamim, the rabbis before us, the Braisas, Tosis seems to be assuming that the Braisas were composed after the Mishnayos. I don't know, we usually assume that there were tons of Braisas floating around. Rabbi Yehudah Nasi decided what should be formally in the Mishnah, which Braisas should not be in the Mishnah. Taisa doesn't present it like that. Taisa presenting as if the brises were composed after the Mishnah was already established, then the Tanoim composed brises. So whenever there's a brisa that says, Omer Chachamim, it means that the rabbi said in the Mishnah. So it must be a Mishnah somewhere. So Taisa has to work hard to figure out where is that Mishnah. That Abayli Parmenich say Semlei Ferla B'Shvua, that you have to swear. That din Abayli Parmenich Semlei Ferla B'Shvua, that the Gemara said before, it doesn't make a difference. But the Yisayim are before Bar Mitzvah, or the Yisayim are after Bar Mitzvah. Let's say the father died at the age of 100, and the Yisayim are 75. The father was 25 years old when the children were born. So they're 75 years old. They're not Ktanim, they're not infants. They're not before Bar Mitzvah, they're way after. They themselves are grandfathers, they're great-grandfathers. They're 75 years old. They're older people, but still, the din is like, Yifrael of Yishvul, you have to swear. So Tosha shows where the Mishnah is. Here we just said, Avagav de Omamar. Omamar means, even though we have prominent rabbis said the din, Avolet Parichser Eliyifrela B'Shvua, but doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a Mishnah. But because it's a Brisa and Hakais with this, Omru Chachamim, so Tosha says, that Lashon that appears in that Brisa Mashma, she Mishnah B'Shum Okum. We mentioned on the first daf, I think, that the Baal HaMor has in his Sefer Hatzava. Baal HaMor wrote Hasogas on the whole riff. And then at the end of Chulin, the last riff is on Chulin. So at the end of all of the Hasogas on the riff on Chulin, so the Baal HaMor has an essay that he calls the Sefer Hatzava, when he calls his Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben. The 13 expressions that appear in the Gemara that have a technical meaning. So one of them is Savrua, here on the first daf in Bava Basra, Savrua. So Taisa says, Baal HaMor says the same as Taisa, the word Savrua usually has the connotation of the rabbis had a Havamina, and it's not correct. So here Taisa says, the Savrua, Avogav de Lebesov Koi, at the end of the day, this is not the wrong shot. Not that they thought incorrectly, then they realized that it was wrong. No, that is the correct shot. So why did the Gemara say Savrua? So this gives a whole explanation. So the Baal HaMor talks about that also. Savrua is one of the 13 technical terms that the Baal HaMor quotes. And then he talks about another thing in the Baal HaMor. When you introduce a brisa, so there are three ways to introduce a brisa. Sometimes you write Tana Rabbanan, sometimes you write Tanya, sometimes you write Tono, Tof Nun Aleph, Tono. So the Baal HaMor claims, you have to check Shas to see if he's right. He claims that the term Tana means that you're quoting a brisa that was written, that was initially composed as a commentary on the Mishnah. Like we have the Bar Tanur in the Tosfos Yontif. So that brisa was written after the Mishnais were already established by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. There were Mishnais floating around. Everybody was saying over, every yeshiva had their own Mishnais. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi picked the brises that he thought were the best and he put them in an order. And he called that the Mishnayos. He established which was still being recited by Pen and days of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He established which brises should constitute the Mishnayos. So any brisa that was composed later as a commentary on the Mishnah, that will be introduced by the Gemara by saying Tona. Maybe that's what Tosis means. Tosis quoted a brisa from Ksubas da Pezayim that it says in the brisa. Omer Chachamim. So Tosfos says, Mashma, the fact that the Brisa is quoting Omer Chachamim must be that it's a Mishnah. Why does it have to be a Mishnah? I don't know. Unless the Brisa was introduced over there with the word Tona, maybe that's what Tosfos means. I don't know. After looking Ksuvas, does it say Tona? Tona, according to the Baal HaMor, is a technical term that means the Brisa we're going to quote was written as a commentary on Mishnah. So if that Brisa says Omer Chachamim, he's referring to a Mishnah. Anyway, Tosfos here discusses there are two dinim that there are a few dinim that depend on Yisayim, more than two. The dinim that depend on Yisayim. So very often the din is Yisayim Shamro, Ben Ketan and Ben Gedolim. And once in a long while you have a din. What's the din? Ainah from Minichsa Yisayim, Elan Kain Ribis Al Chelos Ben, or to collect the Ksuba. because kol zman that the almana doesn't collect her ksuda, she's entitled to eat the peris, to have mezainis. She's entitled to yisaimim amchuyiv. Almana hanizainis menichse yisaimim. She's entitled to mezainis. So it's going to turn out, if you don't pay her the ksuda earlier, then it's going to accumulate more and more chiyuvim. It's going to cost the yisaimim more money. So that's an exception to the rule. So that din, ainei for menichse yisaimim ktanim, that's only Yisamim Ketanim. Yisamim Ketanim, that din doesn't apply. And if a Mirich says Yisamim Leifer Lebeshvua, that doesn't make a difference, but Yisamim Ketanim or Yisamim Ketanim. But the din you don't collect at all, ain't if a Mirich says Yisamim Ketanim, and can you be Sacheles Behem, or an Almona collecting the Iksuba, because because much she doesn't collect Iksuba, she's entitled to have Mizanah, so it's going to rack up a whole extra amount for the assignment. So that din is only assignment ketan. So Tosis has a shaila. The Gemara says here, this ruba de leisaka, we pass like Rish Lakish. There is such a ruba de leisaka mon, ein on a pareh tos manai. So the Gemara says, you can't be mitzi mamon based on a ruba de leisaka mon, but we're talking over here, the malva comes to the assignment and he says, I have a shtar chayv. So he has to make a kiyam and send Shulchan Aruch. You have to make a kiyam on the shtachayv. So he makes a kiyam on the shtachayv. And he says he wants to collect. So usually the din is he can't collect unless he swears, Shalom Nefrati me'aviyam, aboli pominich se yisayim me'ivim yisayim gedoylim. You have to swear, Shvur Shalom Nefrati, I swear I didn't collect it yet. But if the father died toch zmanoi, we have a rubin alesa kamon, the father wouldn't, the malve would not have to swear if he comes to Osmanai. The malve would not have to swear if he comes to Osmanai, because we assume the ruba de leisa kamon. A ruba de leisa kamon is mevara the facts of the case sufficiently to the extent that I don't have to swear. So that's what the Gemara says. Afilu mi yasmi. Even though usually I bought the parmenis and the fell of the shvua, but if the father died to Chazman, then we assume that the father didn't pay, and then the mother can collect from the Yisayimim without swear. So Tosa said, that's only if the Yisayimim G'dolim. What if the Yisayimim K'tan, then you have the other din kicks in. Ain't it from Yisayimim Yisayimim K'tan and Ken Ribis HaChelet, you don't collect at all. So Tosa goes on a bit of a discussion. The two different explanations in Erechen, that Gemara is in Erechen. Tosa quotes both from Erechen, Shuma Yisayim, Dav Chavbeis, as well as Besof Baba Basra. There's a quote from Besof Baba Basra. So Gemara in the both Mesichtas gives two different explanations for the din. Why is Ein Ephraim Minich Seisayim K'tanim and Ken Ribis Achel Esbem? So one reason is Rapapa, and then Gemara said we absolutely don't pass him like Rapapa. And the reason that we accept, the correct reason, is Rafuna Be'ed Rabbi Shur. Rapapa says the reason why you can't collect from the assignment, because Priyas Bachayv is only a mitzvah. And the Yisayimim are before Bar Mitzvah, so they're not mechuyev to do any mitzvahs. We try to train them in certain mitzvahs. There's a din of chinuch min derabbanon. After the apotropos who's raising the Yisayimim, whoever is adopting them, should try to see to it that they fulfill the mitzvah. But you don't have chinuch on all the mitzvahs. So take, for example, in Hilchas Avelis, there's a machloikis from the days of the Gaon, whether there's chinuch on Avelis. So we pass in the Yavdeh, there's no chinuch on Avelis. And also in the Mishnah Brurah has that there's no chinuch. The Mishnah has in the last Perek in Yuma, there's a din of chinuch regarding fasting on Yom Kippur. But the Mishnah Brurah says there's no din, he quotes Achren, there's no din of chinuch regarding fasting on Tisha B'Av and Shivasa B'Tamas, Asor B'Tavis, and some Gedalia. There's the question why. Ramesh Fasha has a whole discussion in his Truvis, in his farm. Why is there such a shita? Why is there such a din? So he quotes the Shagazari, says the reason why there's no chinuch on fasting on Tisha B'Av, Sar B'Tavis, some Gedai, because fasting on Tisha B'Av is a form of Niyug Avelis over the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. So just like there's no chinuch on Avelis, be Paschal, there's no chinuch on Avelis, there's no chinuch on fasting either. So Moshe doesn't like that reason. He doesn't like that Shagazai. He gives a different reason why. Whatever. So the Gemara has, you don't have chinuch on all the mitzvahs. Once in a while you have an exception to the rule, but there's no din of chinuch. So the Gemara says, according to Rapapa, Brias Balchayim, there's really, there's no Shibir Aguf, there's no Shibir Nechasim. There's no Shiburim min HaTorah. It's only Midi Rabbanan that we talk about Shibir Aguf and Shibir Nechasim min HaTorah, there's no Shiburim at all. It's just Brias Balchayim mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. He asked me, Labanei Mevi mitzvah nini? He said, Muktanim, I'm not Muhiv to do the mitzvah. Unless Rebus Ochelus Bam said, then it's in the best interest of Yisrael. They'll be saving money if they'll pay the debt now. But if there's no issue of Rebus Ochelus Bam, and it's not going to cost them more money if they delay paying, so we say they don't have to do that mitzvah. There's no chinuch on this mitzvah. And the Gemara says, we don't paskel like Rapapa. We paskel that Prius Pachayv is certainly a mitzvah, but it's more than a mitzvah. It's Shibudim. You're mechuyev to pay the money. What do you mean? You ask me, Labanei Mevi Mitzvah. Who cares? Mitzvah ain't been so long. There's a sheep in the chosim. There's a sheep on the karka. Of course you have to pay. So the Tesis quotes that according to Rapop, Eina from Nichsi Samik Tanim, because you ask me, Labanei Mevi Mitzvah, and it's only a mitzvah, and no shibudim at all. And the Gemara said, we don't pass like that. So what's the real reason? Rabbanu Bei the Rebbe Yeshua, Yechoshe Shlitzurari. Yechoshe, maybe the father gave a mashken while he was alive. And the mother has no right to collect until he gives back the mashken to the yisaimen. So b'chayshish litzrari, b'chayshish maybe the father gave a mashken. So that's what Tosfos Shaila is. Tosfos goes back and forth. They toy with the idea. Would you say, since we pass on like Rish Lakish, that there's a Ruben de Leisa Kaman Einon, a Perea Toxman, a Chazoke? Chazoke means a Ruben de Leisa Kaman Einon, a Perea Toxman. People usually don't pay with Terchazman. So maybe if the father died Terchazman, maybe you would even collect from Yisrael Mukhtani, because you'd have to be Choshish Litzrari. Why should you be Choshish? Then maybe the father gave a Mashkin. If it's Terchazman, why should he bother to give a Mashkin? There was no mashken b'shas halvot. Why should you be choshe give a mashken terech hazman? So the Tosfos goes back and forth with that. By an almana, the almana can't collect the ksuba because man, the husband is alive. The ksuba is only collectible after the husband dies. So whenever the almana wants to collect, during the lifetime of the husband, that's terech hazman. And nonetheless, he choshe shlitzrari. You are choshe shlitzrari. So shouldn't you say the same over here by the assignment? You should be choshed with source. The Tosfos says, no, there's room to distinguish. Maybe since ksuba is a takonas chachamim, it's a tanai bezin. Tanai bezin means even if the husband never gave his wife a ksuba, it's a takonas chacham that he has to pay ksuba anyway. It's not a takonas chacham he has to pay. We have the ksuba by us is very inflated. We have three parts to the ksuba. You have the ikka ksuba. The ikka ksuba is only, ikka ksuba is 50 shkolim, 50 slon. Same amount as Zainus and Mefata. Because the Chumash says, Kesav Yishkol, Kemor HaPsulos, one is Ma'anis or Mefata. The Besula has to pay Chamishim Shekel Kesav. And that was the amount at the time of Matan Torah, that was the amount that the common practice was. When people got married, they would obligate themselves to give that amount of money for a ksuba, in case she'll become an almona. Or a grusha, the husband will have to pay the ksuba. That's a machlokes hatanim, where the ksuba deraisa love deraisa. The Chumash refers to the ksuba. The 50 shkolim is kesev yishkol kemor apsula. So we paskin, most of the rishonim paskin ksuba love deraisa. Tesis in ksubas, and the first pair quotes one of the Bali Ataisis, Rabbeinu Tam. We don't paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is of the Ri, one of the prominent Bali, the Ri, the Rabbeinu Tam. They were of the opinion that we paskin ksuba deraisa, but we don't paskin like that. We paskin ksuba lav deraisa, and even if when you got married, you gave the girl a ksuba, and it says, I obligated myself to give you the ksuba, if a person accepts upon himself an obligation out of the clear blue sky, I agree, I want to give you $100,000 on matana, and you give me a handkerchief, and I accept the handkerchief, I say, if I accept the handkerchief, I obligate myself to give you the $100,000. That's chal min ha-toyru. Or if I write a shtar, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100,000, I give you the shtar. So you can create a hischayvus yesh meyan either by giving a shtar or by accepting a kinyan suder. So that's a chiyuv deraisa. But by ksuba, even though you gave a ksuba, they made a kabbalas kinyan, it doesn't elevate the chiyuv ksuba to the level of deraisa. He's just writing a shtar on the chiyuv derabbanan, because we pass k'suv alav deraisa. Not only k'suv alav deraisa, if he never gave her a k'suv, even if he did give her a k'suv, the shiva k'suv is lav deraisa. We assume that when he wrote the shtar and he made the kinyan, he didn't mean to make it into a shiva deraisa. It's still only the rabbanan. It has certain deraisa. Kula k'suv b'shamikan. There are a lot of kulas in tashlumin of k'suv because of the fact that it's only the rabbanan. K'suv you only collect from ziburis. A balchayv, if it would be a hischayvus nidas, a balchayv you collect from beinanis. All chavtar all this nizik and you collect idis. And balchayv you collect beinanis and ksubasisha you collect ziburis. That's one of the many kule ksubas. There are a lot of kulas in ksuba because ksuba is lav derais. So the achrenim say in Ebenezer that even if the fellow gave his wife a shtar under the chuppah, he gave her the ksuba, he didn't mean to make it into hischayvus derais. When it says, but it says in the ksuba, because the lichim is derais, so that's what the Rabbeinu Tamar, the Ri, the Balatais is there in Ksubas that we don't accept. He says, it says in the text of the Ksubas, the Chazir Lichem and Deraisa. So you see that we pass in Ksubas Deraisa. So the answer, we don't pass in Ksubas Deraisa. Chazir Lichem and Deraisa, the Rosh explains in Ksubas, and the Ramah quotes it, Aloch Alamaisa, in Ebenezer. Chazir Lichem and Deraisa means there were two monetary systems in the days of the Tanoim, like here in America and Canada. You have pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters and dollars and so on. So the Canadian money, the different coupons in the history, so sometimes the Canadian dollar is worth more than the American dollar, sometimes the Canadian dollar is worth less. And all of the coins that you have, they're all either worth more or worth less, depending on what period of history it is. So in the days of the Tanan, they also had, they had two monetary systems that were running simultaneously. One was called Kesem Tzuri, one was called Kesem Medina. Each one had pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars, and dollars. But the Kesem Tzuri, each coin, each denomination, a dollar, a quarter, a nickel, each one was eight times the value of the dollar and the nickel on the Kesem Medina system. So the Gemara says in Kiddushin, in the first parak, so whenever the Mishnah says you have to pay money, how much do you have to pay? So the Gemara says, "Kol kesef hamavatoir kesef tzuri." When it says in the Chumash that oynis and mefate you pay 50 shkolim, pinyan aben you give 5 shkolim, and moitzi shemer you pay 100 shkolim, and shloshim shalevet you pay 30 shkolim, and every year you have to give matzah shekel for the purpose of purchasing the karbonis tzibur, should be purchased with mamanat tzibur. So all of those shkolim, kol kesef hamavatoir is kesef tzuri. All the money that the Torah is machayev, that's on the Kesem Tzuri system, the higher amounts of money. And whatever the Mishnah has, a takana derabbanan, that if you slap someone, you have to pay so much, and if you do this, you have to pay so much. So instead of making a different amount every time a person slaps someone else, so the Chacham made one standard amount in the Fartik. So whenever it's a din mid derabbanan that the Chacham instituted, called Kesem Shodin Reim, that's Kesem Medina, that's on the lower amounts. So usually the Mishnah has that if a girl got married for the first time, she's entitled to 200 zuz. If a girl got married for the second time, she's an almana or a grusha, then she only gets 100 zuz. So usually in mathematics, 100 is half of 200. But over here it's not. There are more paskins la'alocha. The 200 zuz, if the girls got married for the first time, so that's kesu tzuri. So that's, even though we pass ksubas lav deraisa, it's only the chiv to pay the ksubas mederabbanan, but you pay the amount that the chumash talks about ksuba. Ksuba existed in the days of Matan Torah, so that's the machlekes satanaim and machlekes rishonim. The fact that the chumash has a whole institution of oynis and mafata paying 50 shkolim, that's the amount that she would normally get if she would have gotten married and the husband would have given her a ksuba. Does that indicate that the din ksuba is their raisa? So not necessarily. That's the machlokes ha-tanaim. So the word tanaim held, and the word rishonim held, that ksuba is their raisa. Even if your ksuba loved their raisa, it's midirabbanan, but hacham ha-mechayiv you, that amount that it's mentioned in the chumash. How much is mentioned in the chumash? 50 shkolim. 50 shkolim is masayim zuz. There are 4 zuzim in every shekel. So that's masayim zuz. So that's kesef tzuri, that's the higher amount of money. But the fact that an amana or a grusha gets 100 zuz instead of 200 zuz, that's all a takana midirabbanan. Minatayra, only a psula gets ksuba, or the minig, either the din deraisa or the minig that existed is ma'amatn. That's a wheat paskin. It's only a minig. It wasn't a din. But ksuba is lav deraisa. But you have to pay 200 zuz in kesef tzuri. But when the almana or the grusha gets remarried, or bu'ula, she's not almana, not a grusha, she's a bu'ula, then she gets 100 zuz. That's only midirabban. That's legame. That's a takana derabban. It starts off as a takana derabban. So that's not half the amount. We usually assume the ksuba of a v'suba is twice the amount of the ksuba of an almana. Ksuba is psula, 200 zuz, this 100 zuz. So Ramot Paskins like the Rosh, it's not half the amount, it's 1/16 the amount. Because every coin that you're talking about is Kesem Medina as opposed to Kesem Tzuri. Kesem Medina, to begin with, is 8 times less than Kesef Tzuri. So if it's only 100, then it's Kesef Medina instead of Kesef Tzuri. So it's 1/16. It's not that, it's 1/2. It's 1/16 the amount. That's what Tosha says over here, that ksuba yechoshish le tzurorei, even though the husband died toch hazman, by definition. She can't collect the ksuba, so calls man that she's married to the husband. You only collect after the husband died or after the husband divorced her. So yechoshish le tzurorei, chashinu le tzurorei, even though the husband died toch hazman, he's not likely to pay, calls man that he's alive. So Tosha says, maybe that's only because the ksuba is a takonas chachamim, it's a tanai bezin. The made a takona, you mukhiv to pay the ksuba, even if you didn't give it such a document. Yeah. But the part that says we have three parts to the ksuba. One part of the ksuba is the 50 sloim, the 50 shkolim. That's 200 zuz, because there are 4 zuzim in every shekel. Then we add on, that's peanuts. That's very little. Because 50 shkolim is 10 times pidyon aben. How much do you give for pidyon aben? Nobody gives more than $100 for pidyon aben. Pidyon aben is, we said, according to the Chazon Ish, 96 grams of pure silver, and the minig is give 100 grams. So it's less than, it's way less than $100. So whatever pidyon aben is 5 shkolim. So this is 50 shkolim, so this is 10 times as much. So let's say pidyon aben would be $100, so 10 times as much is $1,000. So $1,000, you can't even buy a cigar for $1,000. Well, she's going to use $1,000. The husband died, and she needs money to live on until she gets another shidduch. So $1,000 is very little. So that's why they, over the years, they added on Tosefes Ksuba, and we add on a dunya. We assess the value of all of the property that she brought into the marriage at the time that she got married. She had dresses, she had sheets, she had whatever. Maybe the father gave her an automobile. Maybe he gave her an apartment in Yerushalayim. Maybe he gave a lot of things. So you assess the value of everything. Today, talk a lot of times a girl gets married. So the father gives her an apartment in Yerushalayim. So you have to assess that's worth much more than what we write next to it. So you got to write how much it's worth. So we add on to Sefes Ksuba and the Dunya. Then we write Sachakom Asayim Zukukim Kesetzov. Zukukim are Austrian coins from the days of the Maharil. That's not from the days of the Gemara. Zukukin are not from the days of the Gemara. So the zukukin are an awful lot of money, way more than the whole suva deraisa. So that's what Tosfos raises a possibility. Maybe a choshish litzrore by an almana or a grusha collecting the ksuba, even though it doesn't make sense that the husband should give it tzurari. It's toch hazman, eiron aparei toch hazman. But to give a mashken, maybe she'll be nervous. So maybe he'll give her a mashken. Why should he care if she's nervous? Because it's a takonas chachamim. The whole reason for the ksuba derabanan, the whole reason why they made such a takana, she shouldn't think that the husband, she shouldn't be nervous. She shouldn't give in to every meshugan a whim of the husband, because she's going to be afraid. Maybe the husband will divorce her and marry someone else. She shouldn't be nervous about that. So that's why the Chachamim introduced the ksuba. And that's why we're concerned. So that maybe the husband was matvis tzurari, that she shouldn't feel nervous. So that's what Tosfos raises the possibility. Maybe that's only by a ksuba because that's a takanas chachamim. But by halvoa, where there's no takanas chachamim, by yisaimim, maybe not choshesh litzori teichazman. Maybe only choshesh litzori teichazman by the ksuba because of the takanas chachamim. That she should, the whole purpose of the ksuba, that the girl shouldn't feel nervous in the marriage, that the husband may decide to divorce. Yeah, that's the gist of the Tosfos. Then Tosfos adds on another line. You can't collect from the Yisayim Ketanim unless you bring Eidim, unless you bring a raya that there's a halvoah. So what kind of raya are you going to bring? So you're going to, Eidim are going to come to give a Haggadah Seidus. So if the Malva comes to collect from the Yisayim Ketanim after the father died, then he had the shtar. Even if the Eidim died a long time ago, the shtar is good the way it is. But the Rabbanan, you need kiyam shtar. So the din is, you can make kiyam shtar shalom b'fnei baldin. Even though you really should have needed kabbalah seidus b'fnei baldin, Gemara says, since the whole need for kiyam shtar is only with the Rabbanan, so they never required b'fnei kabbalah seidus b'fnei baldin. So that's if you're just talking about kiyam shtar, that the Malva has a shtar chayif. What if the Malva doesn't have a shtar chayif? So you cannot collect from Lukuchas unless he has a shtar chayif. That's the last Mishnah Bava Basra. The difference between Milva Ape and Milva Bishtar. Milva Ape can be goyver from Yisayimim, but he can't be goyver from Lukuchas. Milva Bishtar can be goyver both from Yisayimim and from Lukuchas. But Milva Ape can be goyver from Yisayimim. Milva Ape is goyver from Yisayimim, not goyver from Lukuchas. But in order to bring, you have to bring Eidim to say, we testified that we know that there was a halvoa. So a kabbalah seidus has to be b'fnei baldin. So kozman, the father's alive. The father's the baldin. The father was the loiva. So you have to be kabbalah seidus b'fnei baldin. Once the father dies, so the yisayimim on the karkas, the yisayimim are the baldin. So yisayimim ketana before bar mitzvah, that's considered shalom b'fnei baldin. This is said to b'feirish gemara. It's considered kabbalah seidus shalom b'fnei baldin because the baldin is alav bardas. The whole reason, the whole idea behind Kabbalah Seidus B'fnei Baldin, how do you know there's a din, you need Kabbalah Seidus B'fnei Baldin? It's a pasuk in Parsha Mishpatim. It says, Muad b'va'olo. We established the shor as a shor muad because the witnesses testified in the presence of the Baal HaShor. Muad b'va'olo. They testified in the presence of the Baal HaShor. So from that pasuk, we extrapolate that you always need Kabbalah Seidus B'fnei Baldin. There's another din, you need Gemar Din B'fnei Baldin. The original pasuk is Rashi tells you Bava Kama Daf Mem Hey. I think Rashi comes up. The Gemara never says how they know. Where's the pasuk that you need a Gemara Din b'fnei baldin? So Rashi is kind enough to dig up a pasuk in Parshas Masay. I think it says Lo Yomas Haretzeach Adam Delefnei Yoed La Mishpat. Bezna has the right to put the Retzeach to death. Someone murdered someone else, so you want to put him to death. So it says Lo Yomas Haretzeach Adam Delefnei Yoed La Mishpat. So it says you need Gemar Din b'fnei baldin. You have to have the Gemar Din in the presence of the person who's going to get the death penalty. So that's an interesting machloikis in Rishonim. The Shach and the Choshe Mishpat points it out. In the Gemara, I don't think the Rishonim talk about it too much, but the Shach picked it up, that there's a machloikis in Rishonim. Whether that din only applies to din in the Foshes and to Malkus, because it's an oinish, so the Gemar Din is the Tchilas Oinish. So the oinish has to be b'fnei baldin. When the Bezin said, we hereby declare, you are a Ritzach and you're Chayim Misa, are you eight Chazer and you're Chayim to get Malkus, so the Gemar Din has to be b'fnei baldin. What about in Dinim Amunis when they're just passing, you have to pay $100,000, you have to pay $5. Is it necessary to have the Gemar Din b'fnei baldin? So the Shach points out, that's an interesting machlekes or Rishayim. The Gemara has, and he quotes in Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara has a din. Let's say the Baladinim, Reuven and Shimon had a dispute, they went to a din Torah, and the local Bezin can't figure out what the psak is. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, they should send a letter to a bigger Bezin who knows better. They should write up the whole case and send the letter to the other Bezin. And then, whatever the other Bezin says, they know how to learn better, so they'll tell you what the din is. So what does that mean? They'll pasken on the Bezin in the other city, Bezin in Warsaw, the Bezin in Vilna, the Shach lived in Vilna. The Shach is going to pasken on the Din Torah in New York City, even though he's not Bifnei Baldin? Or does he mean, no, the Shach was selling your Shtikol Torah, and the Bezin in New York will read the Shach Shtikol Torah, and then the Bezin in New York will pass him Bifnei Baldin? Is there a din that you need by din, Bifonah, by Mominus, or not? You need Kabbalah Zedis, Bifnei Baldin, and Mominus. The original Pasuk, Gluhod Bevolov, to make the Shorin, to Shoramua, the witnesses have to testify in the presence of the Baal Shor. So that's who Bevolov is, Baldin, and Mominus. You need Kabbalah Zedis, Bifnei Baldin. Baldin has to be a Bardas to understand. But this din, that you need a Gmar din Bifonah, that's a question. Is it only in Nefoshes and in Malkus? Maybe it's because the Gmar din is the Tchilas Kiyum HaInush. Right after Bezin makes the Gmar din, is considered a Gavra Ktila. Whoever kills Mahorga and an Eragol, Yomot Bichai Misa. Maybe by the Malkus also, maybe the Gmar din is also the Tchilas HaInush. So maybe you only need Gmar din Bifnei Baldin in Malkus and Emisa, maybe it doesn't apply in Dini Mamasa. The Shach has, that's a Machlekes or Rishonim. When you have to, when the local Bezin can't figure out what to Paskin, you have to send the Jala to a bigger and a better Bezin in a different city. So does the other Bezin Paskin on the case, even though they're not Pifnei Baldin, do they send the Shtikol Torah to the Bezin, the local Bezin, and the local Bezin will Paskin according to the Shtikol Torah? Yeah. So what about that din? Ein gomedina shalodam ela befonim. That's because he need a bardas. So that's this machlokes hatane. The Gemara has on daf memhei and bava kama. What about a shor haniskal? A shor shoharges haodam is a shor haniskal. Is there a din that Bezin has to make the Gemara din bifnei hashor? The 23 members of the Sanhedrin Ktana, the din in the farshas of a shor. You have to have a Sanhedrin Ketana of 23. So they have to hold the shore, and they, when they want to declare that this shore is here by Chayim Misa, we pass on the shore as a Shor Sha'argas Adam, or Shor Areveva Nirva, so it's Chayim Misa. So when they declare the shore is Chayim Misa, they have to make the Gmadim Bifonov, or is it only when you're talking about people you need Bifonov? So that's a Machloikis Satanaim, whether Engo Medina Shalot Shor Shalay Bifonov or not. Maybe it's only by human beings. But so if it applies to Shor, it has nothing to do with it being a Bardas. Even if you hold that it doesn't apply to Shor, only applies to human beings. Probably also has nothing to do with whether he's a Bardas or not. Because that's the Tchilas HaOinish. That's the Tchilas HaOinish, yeah. But not to be Mekabaletis Bifnei Baldin. That's Beferish and Gemara. That's the Baldin has to be a Bardas. Why? Why is that called Shalom Bifonah? So the Yos HaMech explains why. He said over an interesting Yos HaMech. This is a din deraisa, that you can't be Mekabaleta Shalom Bifnei Baldin. B'uad B'volub is a Pasuk. So that's a Kasha that Rashba asks in the end of Bava Kama, and the Gemara has, if it's a big Shas HaTchak, then we're Mekal on this din deraisa, and we allow the Bezin to be Mekabaleta Shalom Bifnei Baldin. When is it considered a big Shas HaTchak? Let's say the only two Eidim in the whole wide world who know the story, the old and the sick, and they're going to die. They're not going to be around forever. So the one against whom they want to testify, he's a wise guy. He doesn't want to show up in Bezin. If he shows up, they're going to be Mekabaletis against him. So he's waiting another week till the only two witnesses who were there are going to drop dead. He's going to wait till they die. Or the Eidim are busy, they're packing, they're moving to Medina Sayyam. They're not going to be here forever. Once they go to Medina Sayyam, they didn't have any Zoom, they didn't have any telephone. You won't be able to communicate. You won't be able to make Kabbalah Shalom Bifnei Baldin. So if the Eidim are Cholim or Hochem to Medina Sayyam, so it's a big Shas HaTchak. So then the Gemara says, we allow the Bezin to be Mekabaletis Shalom Bifnei Baldin. So the Rashba asks, what kind of business is that? When you deal with the din de Rabbanon on the level of the Raisa, there is no such din. So once in a while you say that the din is only l'hatchila b'di'evet, it would be good, and if it's a shas hatchak menekel, shas hatchak y'di'evet domi. Shas hatchak, we sometimes, not always, we sometimes allow l'hatchila, but usually it's only acceptable b'di'evet. But if it's a din de Raisa, what's the difference l'hatchila b'di'evet, shas hatchak, no shas hatchak? A real din deraisa is a din deraisa. The Kabbalah says Bifnei Baldin is a pasuk in Chumash. So the Rashba asked there in the end of Bava Kama, why the Chachamim makel if the Eidim Acholim Aholchem of Medina Sayyam, so it's a Shas HaTchak, so we allow them to be Mekabaleta Shalom Bifnei Baldin, how come? It's a real din deraisa. So the Or Sameach quotes this difficulty, and he has a suggestion. He gives an interesting answer. He says that in a Torah, you need Rish v'chakira to be mekabel eidus. The bezin has no right to be mekabel eidus unless you do Rish v'chakira. So the Drish l'Hakira, the Bezin has to ask all the relevant questions. How does Bezin know what are relevant questions? So if the one against whom the Edom are testifying, he's going to know what questions they ask. So if you have Kabbalah say this b'fnei Baldin, so the Baldin will tell the Bezin, ask him, was it raining that day? Was it snowing that day? Because they remember the day. Let's say the fellow claims I lent him $1,000. So they say, where was I when you landed, inside or outside? Say, outside. What was the weather that day? You can check it in the New York Times what the weather was. The guy, the Edom who are lying, they won't know what the weather was like that day unless they prepared the whole lie together, unless they worked out all the details together. So the reason why you need, that's what the Or Sameach explained, the reason why you need Kabbalah Seder with Nei Baldin, it's a Pasuk Chumash Adin Deraisa. That's part of the requirement, Min HaTorah, Echadin Mamas Echadin Mifashis Bedrisha Vahakira. That's the name of a parak, Echadin Mamas. That's Daf Lamed Beis, Amar Aleph and Sanhedrin, the fourth parak. Echadin Mamas Echadin Mifashis Bedrisha Vahakira. Mishpatecha Yelachem. You need Drisha Vahakira. So part of the Drisha Vahakira is that Kabbalah Seder should be with Nei Baldin, the presence of the one against whom they're testifying. So he'll be able to prompt the Bezin. If it's really so, ask him this question, ask him that question. He'll know what questions are relevant, how to catch them in a lie. But then the Chacham did away with the need for Drish v'Chakira. The Gemara says, because if you're going to need Drish v'Chakira, so the Eidim always have to remember, Beis HaMokam, Beis HaZman, they have to remember, what day of the week was it and when did the Halva happen? I don't remember. I remember once in the Beis Medrash. I was sitting and learning. And the two guys on the table alarm at me. He said, one of them lent the other one. He says, can you lend me $150? I have to go buy something. So he lent them the money. I don't know if he paid back, so I want to give a haggadah to say this. I remember, Reuven lent Shimon $150. Then they go and ask him, where did it happen? In the base matters on this table. What day of the week? I don't remember what day, what month. I remember what year. It was a couple of years ago. I don't remember what year it was. I should remember what day of the week and what day of the month it was and what month it was. I don't remember whether it was summer or winter. I just remember we were all sitting on the table in the Beis Medrash. So if you're going to leave the din on the level of their Isa that you need Rishu v'Chakira, you're going to be Noel Delis Bifnei Leuven. People are not going to want good-hearted people who want to be kind to others, who want to lend money to Nitzrochim, won't want to lend any money, because if later on they'll want to collect it, and the fellow will deny that he owes the money, you're going to bring the witnesses. The witnesses are not going to remember. They're not going to remember whether it was summer or winter, what day of the week it was, what month it was, what day of the month. So with the Rabbanah, they did away with the need for Drish v'Hakira. And Dini Mominus, Kadesh lo tilna delos bifnei lo. So why do you need Drish v'Hakira? So why do you need Kabbalah Zedus bifnei baldin even l'chatchila? So the Or Sameach says, after they did away with the need for Drish v'Hakira, so Memela, the need for Kabbalah Zedus bifnei baldin fell away also, mid the Rabbanon. They did away with the need for Drish v'Chakira. Kabbalah Seder b'fnei Baldin is part of that halacha. But then the Chachamim reinstituted it mid the Rabbanon because there always used to be a din deraisa like that. So after they abolished the need, what right do they have to abolish the need for Drish v'Chakira? Hefka bezna hefka. They have a right to make whatever takonas they want in the area of Din HaMamos based on hefka bezna hefka. So they made a takana that you don't need Rish v'Chakira. Once they made a takana, so you don't need Kabbalah Seder b'fnei Baldin. But then they reinstituted it mid the Rabbanon, because there always used to be for so many generations till they made that takana, abolishing the need for the Rish v'Chakira. You always needed Kabbalah Seder b'fnei Baldin. So they required it again mid the Rabbanon, whenever it's reasonable, whenever it's possible. But if you have a big shas hadchak, then we make them. To be mekabaleh shelo b'fnei baldin. So usually we say shas hadchak k'di'evadomi. If you have a big shas hadchak, we allow you to be mekel on something that anyway is good b'di'evad. What about kabbalah seder shelo b'fnei baldin? Is that good b'di'evad? Shelo b'fnei is good b'di'evad, and therefore shas hadchak k'di'evadomi. Or do you say no? Even b'di'evad, it's no good. The din that they reinstituted midirabban, kabbalah zaydis b'fnei baldin. If you makabel shalab b'fnei baldin, even b'di'evad it won't be good. And b'shasatcha can make on more than shasatcha k'di'evad dami. Not only, so that's a discussion of Chosh Mishpat. The fact that b'shasatcha we allow l'chatchila kabbalah zaydis shalab b'fnei baldin, is that a conclusive indication, is that a conclusive proof that kabbalah zaydis shalab b'fnei baldin would be good b'di'evad? Or he say no, there's room to be made on the Shas HaTak more than B'di'evit. Or let's say, for example, the din is Midirabbanan. You don't say Shemei Kohena on three cases. We always rely on Shemei Kohena. Let's say the Balkari lanes Parsha Zohar. Everyone should lane on his own Parsha Zohar. The Balkari lanes, everyone's Yotze with Shemei Kohena. Or Baltakeya Blow Shofar, everybody's Yotze with Shemei Kohena. You hear Kiddush, you hear Abdullah from someone else. Yotze v'shemei kohena. So with the Rabbanan, that's what the Mishnah Berurah explains. With the Rabbanan, they made a din that you shouldn't allow shemei kohena by Kriyat Shema. It's Kabbalah Samach Shamayim. Derech Eretz dictates you should recite the Kriyat Shema on your own. And you shouldn't say shemei kohena by davening, by Bakosha Sarachim. If you need a parnasa, you need a shidduch, you need a refuah, you need a shidduch for your children. Whatever the issue is, you have to pass an exam. So you have an issue, so you should speak to the Baruch Shalom directly. You shouldn't just rely, someone else is going to die, and you'll say, Amen. I agree. I hope. No, you should ask on your own. You shouldn't rely on Shemei Kohen. And the third exception to the rule, the Gemara had, the Yerushalmi has the three exceptions to the rule. The Ran at the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes this Yerushalmi. But the Babli also holds from these three dinim. Just that it's Yadua, the Yerushalmi put it all together. So the third case is that we don't allow Shemei Kohena by eating food. The bracha before and after eating food, because you ate the sandwich on your own. You didn't ask the other guy to eat the sandwich for you. He ate his own sandwich and I ate my own sandwich. So you ate your own sandwich, so there are Eretz dictates, you should say your own hamoitz, you should say your own bracha achreina as well. There are exceptions to the rule. In certain cases, on Shabbos, everybody's sitting together. One person says, I'm Oitzi. So it's a different board. It's not based on Shemei Kohena. But when you bench Mezumin, the Iker Adin, the days of the Gemara, when they bench Mezumin, only the Mezamin would say the benching. The listeners would just say Amen. They didn't say the benching. So the Mishnah Berurah has that's not based on Shemei Kohena. That's a board. The whole Chabura offers one Hamoitzi. The whole Chabura offers one Bichas Hamazin. But we don't allow Shemei Kohena. It's not based on Shemei Kohena. And the Mishnah Berurah has Nafkaminus Ledinim. That is not based on Shemei Kohena. It's a separate din. The whole Chabura offers one Amoitzi. The whole Chabura offers one Birchas Hamazon. So then the Gemara says, what if there are two people eating together? Shnayim She'ochlu. There is no Zimun. There is no even optional Zimun. Ein Rashayim Lezamen. There's a Machlekes in the days of the Gemara where the Shnayim She'ochlu Ka'achas. Is it a reshus to be mezamen or not at all? And we paskan not at all. There's no zimun at all. But what happens? Each one has to bench on his own. Mitzvah lecholik. Each one has to recite benching on his own. But what happens if one of them is an amah aretz and he doesn't know how to bench? So then he doesn't know how to read. Or they don't have a siddur. The days of Gemara, they didn't allow siddur. The text of the tefillah was considered part of the Torah Shebal Peh. It wasn't permissible to have a siddur. It was in the days of the Goyim that they first started writing Siddur. The days of the Tanoim, the days of the Amoraim, they didn't allow writing down the Nusach HaTfilah because the Gemara says in Shabbos, Perakol Kisvah, it's considered part of the Torah Shebal Peh. So the Shaila is, if one person knows how to bench, the other one does know how to bench, but there are only two people, there's no Mezumin, so how is he going to bench? So the Gemara says, since it's a Shas HaTchak, so we make all on the whole din is only with the Rabbanim that you don't allow Shemei Kohena min HaTorah. You say Shemei Kohena even in these three cases of the benching and in the Kriya Shema and the Tefillah. So it's only with the Rabbanim. So if it's a big Shas HaTchak, then you make all. So there's a big machlokes in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Birchos Hamazon. That means a Shas HaTchak k'di'evid dami. So let's say two people ate, both knowledgeable, they both know how to bench. And one of them is lazy, so he tells the other, you say the benching, and I'll say, Amen, I'll be Yotze with Shemei Kohena. We did say the B'di'evit, he's Yotze with Shemei Kohena. And therefore, if it's one is an Am Ha'aret, and he does not have a bench, so that Shas HaTchak, he'd be Yotze with Shemei Kohena. B'Shas HaTchak, we allow the Chathchila, usually is only acceptable b'di'evid, or they say no. Even b'di'evid, he wouldn't be yotze. If he knows how to bench, he's not even yotze b'di'evid. If he's going to be Bayal Shemekah, the Chacham made a din with the Rabbanon, he's not even yotze b'di'evid. But in Shas HaTrak, there's room to be mekel more than b'di'evid. Not only Shas HaTrak b'di'evid dami, Shas HaTrak b'mekel l'chatchila, something that's usually unacceptable b'di'evid. Sometimes if Shas HaTrak b'mekel, more than one would be mekel b'di'evid. So that's a big machlekes. That's a big machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. 2 days in the Mechaber. The same thing by Kabbalah Seder Shalot Bifnei Balvin. Shas HaTrak b'mekel, Edom Cholem Ahochem Lemdina Sayam b'mekel, to allow Kabbalah Seder Shalot Bifnei Balvin. So what would you say? There was no Shas HaTrak, but the Bezin was Mekabalah Shalot Bifnei Balvin. Would you say, it must be good b'di'evid? If it's not good b'di'evid, how can you say Shas HaTrak is more kal than b'di'evid? And others hold no. Even b'di'evid, it's no good. But b'shas HaTrak, we allow it l'chatchila. Those are rare cases. Usually, if you make a b'shas HaTrak, that's an indication. Shas HaTrak, if you ever done it, that b'di'evid would be good. But once in a while, you have an exception to the rule. You say, there's room to be make a more b'shas HaTrak l'chatchila than on a normal case of b'di'evid. Anyway, Tosa happens to mention that the din is that k'tanim, they quote the Gemara. He can't be mekabaleh shalom b'fnei baldin. If the yisaidim k'tanim, they have the status of shalom b'fnei baldin because of not b'nei das. K'tanim choshev shalom b'fnei baldin b'luchim resh perakot gozal das. The Farish in the Gemara, but we can't recoup few days. Yeah.
According to Mar Sameach, why would he explain? How would he explain that we reinstituted the din of having baldin and yisaidim?
Why not? A zecher to the din. It used to be on the level of our Aisha, we always required Kabbalah Seder b'fnei Baldin as part of the Drisha v'Chakira. So even after they did away with the need for Drisha v'Chakira, but they wanted to reinstitute the din of Kabbalah Seder b'fnei Baldin.
Do we also reinstitute Drisha v'Chakira in general also?
No, if you're going to reinstitute Yerisha v'Chakira, then you're going to kill the whole purpose of doing away with it, abolishing it, is Kadesh Lotino Delos Bifnei Lovin. Because people are not going to remember. I remember watching him lend him $150. He said, make sure you want to have eight. So I'm one of the eight. I'm not going to remember whether it was the summer or the winter. Sometimes I remember what year it was. I'm not going to remember what day of the week and whether it was summer or winter and so on. So that they did away with. They did away with the need for Drisha v'Chakira. So once they did away, so the Mele, the din of Kabbalah Seder b'fnei Baldin, falls apart by itself. So he says that they reinstituted it in the Rabban. As a zecher to the fact that there used to be a din like that, Kabbalah Seder b'fnei Baldin. But Kim Shtoris, you don't need Kabbalah Seder b'fnei Baldin, because Kim Shtoris is only the Rabban. But on a normal Kabbalah Seder, you need b'fnei Baldin. Well, that's good to know all the dinim that this is quoted. Then the Gemara had a brisa. I say, I'll lend you $100 here around 13 lines from the top of Vavam and Alf. I say, Manali Biotcha. I said, I lent you $1,000. And the guy says, yes, I admit I owe the money, I didn't pay. Then he comes tomorrow, and he says, yesterday you admitted you owe me money, where's the money? So if he says, Nasati lo, I paid you yesterday. Yesterday I admitted that I owe the money. So you say, where's the money? So I said, okay. And I went to the bank, and I came 2 hours later, I came to your home, I gave you the money. So if he said, Nasati lo, so then he's believed. But if he says, Ein lecha biyadi, then we don't believe. What do you mean, Ein lecha biyadi? He says, I don't owe you. He says, I never borrowed the money. What do you mean? I never owed you the money. What do you mean? I never owed you the money. Yesterday he admitted he does owe. So the Gemara finally said, that's what it means. Today he's changing his taina. Yesterday he admitted that he owes me the money. Today he says he never borrowed the money. And then he's, but yesterday you said that you do owe me the money. So he says, no. What I meant today, that I never owed you the money, what I meant was praticha. So that's Toyim B'chayz of the Toyim. You don't believe him. He's changing his story. He's Hulchsak Shakran. Yesterday he admitted that he does owe the money. Today he claims, I never owed you the money. It's a lie. So that's how the Gemara finally gives the pshat and the brisa. But before the Gemara gives that pshat, before they gave that pshat, they thought a different pshat. That if he says, I never owed you the money, that means I paid you toch money. Why did they have such a funny havamina? That if you confront me and you say, you lent me $1,000, where's the money? I say, I never owed you the money. That means praticha betoch money. No, he says, I never owed you the money. It means lalavisi, I never borrowed the money. Why do they interpret my love? It probably means the following. Ein lachabiyadi means, I never owed you the money. It means praticha betoch money. Why do they think such a funny pshat? So if he say the way we were saying all along, the psychology is dependent on the halacha. Maybe there's no shibur aguf until it comes agos hazman. So if he says I paid toch hazman, means the shibur aguf never got off the ground in the first place. When it came, this man, let's say, he lent me $1,000 for 5 years, and I say I paid you in the middle of the 5 years. So at the time he lent me the money, according to Rish Lakish, there was no shibur aguf. Then I paid you before the 5 years were up. So it's like, Ein lecha biyadi. I never owed you in the first place. There never was a shibur aguf to pay the $1,000. Because praticha toch zman. The chiyuv, the shibur aguf only sets in with the hagos hazman. So if he claims, my love, he claims, I never owed you the money, it means praticha toch hazman. It's like prevented the chiyuv from setting it. The Gemara says, no. Ein lecha biyadi means he's changing his story. He says, I never borrowed the money. But they say, yesterday he said, you did owe the money. He said, oh yeah, that's what I meant to say today. I meant that I paid you the money. But that's not what he said. So that's called huchsak shakran. I think Gemara is in Shavuos about that. When a person advances a tainus p'tur, then later on he changes his story. When is it reasonable that he can change the story? When they say no, the guy admitted that he's a liar, so he can't believe anything that he says. When they consider him huchsak shakran, and when not, you have to know psychology. Then the Gemara speaks a little bit about cheskas tashmishim. There's an institution of cheskas habatim. That's the third parak, the famous third parak. Cheskas Habatim, if I'm living in your house and using your farm for 3 years, Cheskas Habatim, Shalosh Shanim, 3 years in a row, Gimel Shanim Ritzufim, not 1 year in 2001, and then 2011, and then 2019. I happen to be living in your house for 3 years. Now it has to be 3 years Ritzufim, and it doesn't, and the witnesses are going to testify that he was eating Achilles Peris, he was living in the other guy's house, or using the other guy's field. They're going to say he didn't seem to be nervous. He was using the other one's house, like other Ma'aseh B'Tel Shalom. He wasn't always nervous to look out the window to see if the original owner was coming back to reclaim the house. He didn't seem nervous. He was acting as if the house belonged to him. So that's the institution, Cheskas Habatim Sholoshon. So the Mishnah says, on Daf Mem Aleph, Rashi quotes it 6 lines from the bottom, Mishnah says, Chazoka Sheni Matayna Eina Chazoka. If he just claims that squatter's rights, I was living in your house for 3 years, and no one ever complained that I'm living there. So that's not a taina. I proved that the house belonged to me. You have no proof that the house, you don't even claim that the house belonged to you. You just claimed you lived there for 3 years, and nobody complained, so therefore you have a right to stay there. Let me therefore, if you know the house belongs to me, it still belongs to me. There's no mechila on a bien. You can't be moichel a bien. You have to be makna bien. So the shaila is that if he claims that he owns the house, or he owns the field, then there's no mechila on a bien. What if he has what we call a cheskas tashmishin? The two neighbors, and one neighbor has a taller building than the other guy. So this neighbor, when he puts up his sukkah, when he makes things in his backyard, he leans the beams on the other guy's house. So in the days of the Gemara, the houses were pretty wobbly to begin with. They weren't so sturdy. So if the neighbor is going to lean beams on the house may collapse earlier than otherwise. Houses didn't last so long, they weren't so strong. So he had, the owner of the house has a right to prevent me. Shol Shalom Midas is considered a gazlan. I'm going to have my beams leaning on his house. His house is not going to last as long as it would have otherwise lasted, because the beams are going to be weighing down heavily on the walls. It's going to ruin the house earlier than otherwise. So if I claim that I paid him for the right to use his house, or that I made a kinyan with him, and he gave me permission, and I claim that I was using it for a long time, so that's a chazokah she'eshim ataina. I claim that I paid him and I bought the right to lean my beams on his house. But Rashi over here says a double pasha, just like the Mishnah says later, Mem Aleph, and Perik Cheskes Abatim, Chazoka Shanim Ataina Eina Chazoka, Cheskes Abatim, Shalashonim is meaningless. Unless he tainis, I bought the house, I bought the farm, I bought the field from you, and it's my field. And Baharaya, that is mine, I was using it the last 3 years, no one complained. But he has a claim, he says, I bought the house from you. It's my house. So then the fact that he was living there for 3 years like a normal Gadol Moser with Tel Shalai, that's a raya that it's his. On the level of the rice, it probably is not a raya. So the Tzais works on the topic and says, probably only with the Rabban. The whole institution, Cheskabat, Mishal Shonim, probably the whole thing is a takon of the Rabban. Fine. But the Shaila is, the indeed a chazaka sheishi matana, if it's only a cheskas tashmishin, I've been leaning on your wall, I've been leaning my beams on your wall, or let's say I have a swing, and the swing is supported by your wall, whatever. I've been using your wall for the longest time. And I just say you were aware of it, and you never complained, so that's an indication you were moichel. I'm not claiming that your wall belongs to me, that your farm belongs to me. I don't claim that I bought it. I claim you are aware of that. The witnesses will testify. You were aware of the fact that I'm leaning beams on it, and you never complained about it. So apparently you gave permission. Apparently you were Meichel. So if you were Meichel, so I have the right to continue to do it like that. That's called Cheskas Tashmishim. So Rashi says, no. Even by Cheskas Tashmishim, but I'm not claiming that it's mine. Still, Rashi holds, there's no mechila in the end. You have to have a chazaka sheishim ataina. And the case of the Magid Mishnah writes on the side of the Rama, and the Rama quotes these Gemaras, when you're talking about cheskas tashmishim, leaning beams on, even a chazaka sheishim ataina is also good. Why? Because the fact that the owner of the house was aware that I'm leaning my beams from the swing, or from the silk and everything, I'm leaning all the beams on his building, or on his wall, and he's Meichel, so the Mechila is Chal, and I claim that I have the right to continue to use the house like that. So why does Rashi not agree with that? Why does Rashi not agree? The neighbor was aware that I was using it, and the witnesses know that he was aware, and he didn't complain. So the Rambam and the Gaon are right. He was Meichel. So the answer is no. My Mishnah explains a little bit. Rashi holds that there's no mechila on the bien. But the Rambam and the Gaonim hold there's not mechila on the bien. There's a mechila on the zchus etashmish. You own your wall, or you own your building, and you have the right to prevent people from leaning beams on the building. That's called Shol Shlomi Das Gazlan Avi. I'm using your building to lean beams on it, and it's going to clearly weaken the building. So, is that considered mechila on the bien? Is that considered mechila on zchusim? Mechila is only on a zchus. If someone borrowed money from me, I can be moichel. Or let's say I invite someone to live and to come in my house. So I say, please sit down and please eat the food. I invite him to eat. So I give him permission to eat the food. So there's no isek zeilah. I give him permission to sit on the chair. I give him permission to use the fork and the knife. I give him permission to eat the food. So memela, there's no isek zeilah. So why not say over here also? I used the Hishtamshus a few times, and the owner of the house and the owner of the wall was aware of it, and it didn't bother him. So it's an umdir in the muchach that he allowed me to use it. He was Meichel. So if he's Meichel, that's chus. So that's chus, that's a chus, that whoever owns property has a right to insist others shouldn't use it. Shol shlamidaz gazal hari. So if the mechel, that's chus, so that should take off. Sinde, that's not mechila in the end. Whoever owns a bien has a chus that he can prevent other people from using it. When they use it, it's gzela. So once he's mechel, so why not say it's nimcha? The answer is no, but there's no mechila on a davish lobali yaylom. That's the question. You own a building or you own a wall, and I'm not allowed to lean on your wall because it may weaken it. But you say every day the owner of the house or the owner of the wall has a new schus to prevent his neighbor from leaning beams on the wall. So even though he was meichel up until now, he can say, Mekanal Habo, I don't want to be meichel. Because the mechila that he did the last couple weeks, he was watching the neighbor lean his beams on his wall and he didn't react at all. So that's a mechila on the schus to use the wall. That's the mechila was chal. Okay, but not mikanal habo. The right to use the wall mikanal habo, that right didn't exist yesterday. Every day, the fact that I own the wall gives me a new schus that I can prevent other people from using the wall. But he says it's one long schus. So since he was already mechal in the past, that's one long schus, so the mechila is chal, even on the future. So there's such a similar discussion in Eben Ezra. A couple is married and the wife says, so this is Takana de Rabbanon, that the husband is mechiv to give mezainas to support his wife with food and clothing. And in exchange for that, she's supposed to give the husband maisi odeho, a little about the money that she earns by making yarmulkes or by typing term papers or by doing little things around the house. Not talking about the woman going to work, she's a doctor, a lawyer, or engineer, or something, she has a full-time job. That's a machlokes in the Rishonim. Whether you say in such a case also, Maisei Adel Abayla, or you only say Maisei Adel Abayla on little Maisei dime around the house. So let's say the woman says, Eni Nizaynis Veni Yoise. I'm Moichel the right to Mizaynis. I don't need the husband to support me. And the Mele, I don't want to give Maisi Adayim to the husband because I'm making more than him. I don't need him for his Mizaynus. He doesn't make so much money. He's going to give me very little for Mizaynus. So I'm a Vata de Mizaynus to him. And I don't want to hand over the Maisi Adayim. So the Gemara says the wife has the right to say that. Ain't a Mizaynus because the Ika Takana was Letoivas the Isha, that the husband is Mukhiv and Mizaynus. She has the right to say any nizaynus and a mele any yoise. Then she's not mechuyev to give maaseh adel abayla. So what happens if for 5 years the woman says any nizaynus and yoise? After 5 years she changes her mind. Mikanal habo, she wants to be tired. She doesn't want to work to continue to work so hard. So she says from now on I do want nizaynus. So that's two opinions. And Eben Ezra machlokes Rishonim. Once she says any nizaynus, it's a once chus nizaynus. The whole meshach of the marriage. So once she was meichel, the right to mezainis, a day or two, whatever, then it's nimchal. So the whole takana falls apart. There's no more chiv mezainis. So the wife can't change her mind later on. Once she said any mezainis, it's over. What do you say? No. Every day there's a chiv mezainis to give breakfast, lunch, and supper. So every day when she gets hungry, she has a schus of mezainis. So just because she was meichel mezainis for a couple of years, doesn't mean that she's going to be meichel forever. There's no mechila on a dovish labalion. Tomorrow's mezainis is a chiyah that's going to come up tomorrow. It's not a chiyah yet today. Isha doesn't have the ability to be meichel her schus to get mezainis tomorrow. Today, the schus for tomorrow is going to be tomorrow, not today. So that's a machlokes in Rishon. They consider the schus mezainis the whole length of the marriage as one shibud. And when she's meichel, all takanas mezainis falls apart. They say no. Every time it's time for another meal, breakfast, lunch, supper, every day there's a nuchi mezainis, so she can be meichel as she goes along. Every day she's going to say any mezainis, any oisa. I don't want the husband's mezainis, and I don't want him to take away my maisi adayim. But if she decides to change at any point, so then she can say I was never meichel on the maf. I was never meichel on the dovish labolion. So that's such a similar machlokes over here. That the neighbor has the right to insist I shouldn't lean on his wall, I shouldn't lean any beams on his building, and so on. But if he was mavater, he knows that I'm doing it and he doesn't care. So he was moichel. So do you say once he was moichel, the neighbor doesn't mean even a chazaka sheni mataina? There's also that it says he was moichel, he's moichel. So it's one long schus he has to prevent the next door neighbor from leaning beams or whatever on his buildings. So once he was moichel on that, the mechila is valid li'olam v'olam. You say no. Every day that comes, the owner of the building has a nuschus to prevent the neighbor from stealing. Shol shalom edaz gazanav. He shouldn't put beams on. So just because the fellow was moichel for 5 years doesn't mean that he's moichel mikan alapo. Only he was only moichel for 5 years, then he can say, I can be moichel adavish l'baliyot. Every day the house, the beams, the wall or the house belongs to me. So every day that it belongs to me, I have the right to be makbid that you shouldn't lean any beams on my house or on my wall. So that seems to be the machlokes over here. Rashi against the Rama. Rashi, this Rashi, maybe it's not Rashi. Maybe it's the Rashbam, because it says in Rashi, Yad Kan. And Tosfos on Amud Beis quotes it as if it's the Rashbam. So it sounds like it's not Rashi. It sounds like it's the Rashbam.
I mean, why can't a woman just then be mochel by every meal? Just say, I'm mochel now, and then be unmochel as soon as she gets emailed. Like, what's the smallest amount of time that she
should
be mochel for?
What do you mean? She say a mochel, and then
a meal. I mean, she say a mochel, and then eat the meal, and then not do anything during that time, and then say, I'm not mochel anymore.
Well, she has to give Maisi Adeha Labaila in exchange for the meal that he's giving her. So if she ate the meal, then she has to give Maisi Adeha in a couple of hours. At least a couple of
times.
The
time that she did during that time.
Yeah, you're right. But the question is, she was machal for 5 years. She was earning a lot of money, and she said she doesn't need the mezainis from the husband, and therefore she doesn't want to give the husband ma'aseh adah. She's making more than he is, so she says any mezainis for any use. And then she decides she wants to retire, so she wants to go back to have mezainis, and she'll give whatever peanuts, whatever she earns. I said, that was a gift to the husband. So does she have the right to back out? Or he say, no. It's one long schus of mezainis, and since she says she was meichel to mezainis, it's meichel. So the old takanas chachamim is nifka, it's poka. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. So that's similar to the machlekes here. The right that a person has who has a building, has a wall, he has a right to prevent people from leaning on the wall, because so shalom mishdas gazlan havi, he has a right to give rishus and not to give rishus. So do you treat that as one long schus? Or do you say, no, every day he has a right to be makbin? That's a shayla. Is it considered a mechila on a davish labal yadam or not? Yeah, that's a big machlokes rishon. Okay, I'll stop here. The bottom of Avam and Avam.